impressing food and other needed supplies, in a broad sense, running roughshod on the Confederate people's rights and liberties. Opposition to Davis was strong in key states such as Georgia, where Governor Joseph E. Brown, Alexander Stephens, and Robert Toombs were among the leaders of the anti-Davis faction. There was also significant opposition in North Carolina, another key state, where Governor Zebulon Vance at times was a problem for Davis, although not as big a problem as many authors would have it. Brown and Vance are the two examples that historians frequently have used to show that key Southern governors were against the Confederate administration and actually hurt the Confederate war effort. But I think that Georgia and North Carolina did an enormous amount to support the war. Sometimes Zeb Vance and Joe Brown were against Davis and could be a tremendous thorn in his side, but I think it's easy to overstate the degree to which that took place. Jefferson Davis, like Robert E. Lee, I think, was a realist. They knew that if the Confederacy were going to win independence, the Confederate people would have to give up some of what they considered basic liberties. They would have to agree to be drafted. They would have to share their products with the Confederacy. They would have to give money until it hurt. They would have to, in other words, be willing to countenance as close to a complete mobilization of Confederate resources as was possible if they were going to beat the United States, hold off the United States in this war. Many people in the South were not willing to do that. And they went after Jefferson Davis and his administration. They were not willing to abandon state rights. They were not willing to give up what they considered their Southern principles, even in the name of winning the war and establishing their slaveholding republic. The result was increasing political dissension at a time when the Confederate armies in the field needed all the support that the population could muster. Much of the problems behind the line were economic, and let's take a look at what the Confederate economy looked like. We've talked already about some of the economic failures, the eventual reliance on paper money, the loss of productive areas to invading armies, the tightening of the blockade and how that brought scarcity of goods, the disintegration of the Southern transportation system as Northern armies moved about the Confederate landscape, all of these things coming together to fuel a really terrible rate of inflation that sent prices spiraling up as the war went on. Every class in the Confederacy, except debtors and speculators, suffered quite cruelly from this inflation. Creditors literally ran away from debtors on occasion to avoid receiving payment in what was essentially worthless Confederate paper money. As early as July 1862, a single cabbage cost $1.25 in Richmond, and that was the only vegetable available. In October 1863, a government clerk wrote in his diary that his income of $6,000 a year, half of it from government pay, together with what he called a good deal of help from his father-in-law, enabled his family to eat two meals a day. They couldn't eat three. And he said that many in Richmond were eating only once a day. In May 1864, a pair of pants cost $100 in Richmond. Bacon was $9 a pound, beans $4 a quart, chickens $15 each. By the end of the war, in different parts of the Confederacy, there were reports of barrels of flour costing $1,000. Women were especially disillusioned with the cost of food. And as we've seen, they rioted in different parts of the South in 1863, the most famous occurrence taking place in Richmond in April, when Jefferson Davis eventually threatened to have military forces fire on the women if they would not disperse. As prices soared, real wages for laborers declined to about one-third their pre-war level. One group of workers wrote to Secretary of the Treasury Memminger in this way: "Wages are totally inadequate to afford us the merest necessities of life, plain food, shelter, fuel, and clothing. We are literally reduced to destitution," these workers said. Soldiers' families were especially hard hit. A Confederate soldier earned $11 a month for much of the war. Congress very reluctantly increased that in June 1864 to $18 a month.